Yeah, we know about that, don't we? It's kind of like being intoxicated, isn't it? You wake up the next morning and go, what have I done? That's that passionate, uncontrollable love. Philia, or phileo, friendship. Philadelphia, it's the city of what? Brotherly love. That's where that word comes. It's a friendship love. That's the word Jesus used when he was talking to Peter, and he said, do you love me, you know, by the beach? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? That's he was saying we're friends. He's not asking you to love your enemies like that. Because that involves emotion. That involves something unique and deep. The other word, storge, that's the word for love for like a parent for their child, or a child for their parent, or maybe your dog. You know, I love my dog. How many of you love your animals? Yeah, they're like kids to us, aren't they? Yeah, we love our dogs. But that involves emotion. He's not using that word. The word he's using is agape. Agape love. This is a selfless love, sometimes translated as charity. Thomas Aquinas said, this love is to will the good of another. To will the good, it's about your will. It's a decision that you make. It's not about feeling. This is an action love. This is something you do. That is the word that Jesus is using when he says love your enemies. Now let me give you a little disclaimer, okay, real quick. This is important. Who is my enemy? We want to bring it up close because some of you are thinking right now, I know there's people in this congregation who have been abused sexually. God's not asking you to accept that. This love is not to excuse evil or condone mistreatment. That's not what this love is. It's something different. In fact, I'd like you to bring it up a little more close and personal. I mean, we could think of Gracia's experience. Her enemies were pretty obvious. They were carrying guns. They held her in the jungle for over a year and mistreated her and threw rocks at her. Gee, I wonder who my enemies are. She watched people be beheaded. People were left to die. But maybe some of these enemies, we can make it a little more up close and personal. Maybe some of these enemies are right in our own families. This trouble that comes into our lives, this pain, it can be inflicted by anyone. How about an angry spouse? They act like your enemy. A rebellious child, a difficult neighbor. How about an obnoxious coworker who means you no well-being? In fact, they're working behind your back to make sure you do not advance. And they're saying things about you. Maybe they're lying about you. They're trying to attack your reputation. Is that an enemy? I believe that God does not want us to waste our lives as victims of those who oppose or hurt us. He's got another way for us to live. See, Jesus himself had enemies. Is that right? I mean, if Jesus had enemies, am I going to have enemies? And did not the psalmist declare, oh, listen, that table, it will be surrounded by enemies. It will be part of our life. It's interesting in Matthew, when he talks about being struck on the cheek, he's very specific. He says the right cheek. And that's a particular kind of slap. If somebody slapped you on the right cheek, then they were using the back of their left hand to strike you. This strike was an insult. It was not a violent assault. Have you ever been insulted? Especially when it's done publicly. Have you ever been publicly embarrassed by someone and they did it on purpose? Yeah. That's the kind of thing Jesus is talking about here. Well, I want you to look real carefully. And in your insert, you can fill these out. We're just going to pop right through them. First thing that's very important, in order to fulfill this exhortation, there are some roadblocks you need to remove. Here's the first one, all right? The spirit of revenge. Have you ever experienced it? Probably not in this church, but there's other places where people have. Have you ever wanted ill for someone? I'm sorry to tell you, your pastor has. There's time. I mean, I'm being serious. Lord, could you just call fire down out of heaven on that person? Because it would make me feel so much better. Have you ever felt that way? I prayed once for a person who I thought was my enemy. God, if you want to remove them from this life, I will give them a nice funeral. I mean, it'll be first class all the way, Lord. Pastor, you're dark. Yeah. I'm just telling you, this is a real deal. And that's why in Romans, Paul wrote these words in verses 17 and 19, chapter 12. He says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Here it is, beloved. Who's, are you God's beloved? Don't you like it? He's getting ready to poke you in the eye. He's sucking you in. Oh, beloved, come over here. Come over here. Do not avenge yourself. Do not avenge yourself. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." If you're going to be able to trust God with your enemies, you got to leave vengeance to God. That's not even yours. Don't even touch it. God keeps the record. God will balance the books. Number two, the spirit of pride will become a roadblock to you trusting God with your enemies. All right, James 4, 6. God gives grace to the humble. Is that right? He gives more grace. So God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. I want you to know the devil's at work in this. And if you want to trust God with your enemies, you're going to submit to God. How are you going to do that? The scripture. You going to submit to God? No. I'm backing off from this scripture. No, you're going to submit to God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. You will humble yourself. God will give you grace. Amen. It is totally a work of grace to do what Jesus has asked us to do. Number three, third roadblock, and this is a big one. It's the spirit of blindness. The spirit of blindness. Let me tell you something. I know it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be a little hard for you. Is it possible that God has brought enemies into your life to show you things about you? Do you have any blind spots that you can't see it by yourself, but other people can see it? I've discovered something. My friends aren't going to tell me. They're going to stroke me. They don't want to hurt my feelings. But my enemies, they're going to tell me. Yeah, I don't like it. I'd rather it come from somebody else. But you can listen to your enemies, because they may be shedding light on things that God wants you to see. That might be a gift to you, and you don't even realize it. And it's God at work. That's what happened to Gracia, wasn't it? She went all the way in the middle of that experience. She was bitter and angry, but yet God began to change her heart. How? How? Through her enemies. Through her enemies. If you hadn't been through that experience, God can use your enemy as a mirror, a light. God's your enemy could be a love assignment for you. God's connecting you with somebody, and you're going to be the key to show them the love of God, which is going to bring them to Christ. We need to see our enemies as a gift from God. Joseph knew it well. Who was his enemies? His brothers. His brothers, his own brothers were his enemies. These enemies can be up close and personal. In fact, they were so jealous of him, what did they do? They threw him in a pit. Well, they were going to murder him, first off. And luckily, somebody talked him out of it. Bad choices. But God's working his plan. Did God have a plan? Was he preparing something? Oh, it was big. They didn't even realize it. It involved an entire nation. But what did Joseph declare at the end of it all? In Genesis, the 50th chapter, verse 20, he declared that what was meant for evil, God used for his profit. What you meant for evil, God used to my present day profit. Now, you wouldn't know that. You got to wait till the end of it to see that. But that's by faith that you receive that God is at work doing something even among our enemies. Quickly, three ways to love your enemies. You ready? Three ways to love your enemies. It's already, Jesus declared it. First thing you're going to do is you're going to pray for them. How many of you pray for your enemies? You probably pray like this, don't you? Lord, get them. Get them, Lord. Get them. We need to pray that God will love them through us. We need to pray for strength to forgive. We need to pray for their conversion. Amen? Brian told me a story at the elders' meeting yesterday that he heard at a conference he was at. And I don't know if I'll get the story right, so you correct me if I'm wrong. But was Elijah there at that? Did he hear that? Oh, well, you both correct me if I'm wrong. But he talked about his mother never had to tell him, "Don't slap a blind man." You wouldn't slap a blind man, would you? But we do it every day. We do it. Jesus on the cross, I mean, think about this. They whipped him, they beat him, they nailed him to a cross, and what did he say? Father, forgive them. Why? You mean they're blind? They're blind. Remember when you were blind? Don't slap a blind man. Instead, turn on the light through your love and forgiveness so they can see Christ. We need to pray for our enemies. Number two, we need to do good to them, Jesus said. Do good to them. Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. If your enemy's hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water. In doing so, you heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Huh? Say, oh, I like that. We can set his hair on fire. Yeah. No, you misunderstand. In that day and age, coals were very important at nighttime hour. It's how you kept warm, and people would carry the coals on their head in a little bowl. And if your coals went out, that was a big deal because you were going to freeze to death. He said, hey, listen, if that's your enemy, heap coals of fire on their head. Heap the coals. Give them fire to stay warm at night. What do you mean stay warm? I'd like for them to be a little uncomfortable, Lord. They're my enemies. And he says, but I did that for you. I was kind to you when you were yet my enemy. So why can I not then respond to others in like kind? Don't ignore them. Greet them. Thirdly, bless them. Bless them. Listen, here's how you bless an enemy. You ready? When you pray, ask God to do for them what you want God to do for you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Doing to others is, isn't that it? Pray that God will do for them what you want God to do for you. Refuse to speak evil of your enemies. Robert E. Lee was asked his opinion once of a fellow officer who was widely known as one of Lee's greatest detractors. The general replied to the question, he said, I think this man to be a very fine officer. General, his questioner, quite perplexed, said, General, I guess you don't know what this guy's been saying about you. He said, oh, yes, I do. I know. And Lee replied, but you asked me my opinion of him, not his opinion of me. This next slide represents a dark time in our nation's history. In 1957, Martin Luther King Jr. preached a sermon from the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Guess what the title of it was? Love Your Enemies. When he came to the end of his sermon, this is what he said. He said, now through Christ, we know what love looks like by his own sacrifice. We know what it looks like in a world filled with hatred and distrust and bitterness and pain and mistreatment and abuse. If we believe in Jesus at all, we must say to our enemies, I love you and I would rather die than hate you. And 11 years later, he got to do that very thing as he was assassinated outside his motel room in Nashville. I would rather die than hate you. Wow. He went on to say, when Jesus walks with us and we will find the strength to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, and to pray for those who despitefully use us, if we walk with Jesus, we'll find that strength. And then he said, don't get even with your enemies. Do we need him back again? Do we need these words again? Do not get even with your enemies. Ask God to bless them instead. If you can let go of your anger long enough to pray like this, you will discover a wonderful benefit, he said. When you pray for grace for others, you put yourself in a position to receive it yourself. And that leads us to our three benefits. Three great benefits, great blessings, great rewards. Jesus said, great will be your reward. Here's number one reward, Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. See, if you give mercy and grace, you're going to get it back again. You're going to get it back again. We've received mercy and grace, so we should be able to give mercy and grace. And the more you give, the more you get back. Number two, oh, this is good. Luke 6, 36. He said, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. You know what that means? We're going to become like the Father if we do this. See, even the unsaved people will notice your family resemblance? Aren't you part of the family of God? How do I know that? Well, you know, I could tell some of you are related. You don't even have to tell me. I just know, man, you, I mean, Kelly and Abby, are they related? It's kind of, they don't look at all alike, do they? Connie gets around her brother, man, they are so related. Can people tell we're related and that we're the offspring of our Father? That we're going to be just like Him? Isn't that the will of God? Romans 8, 28, 29. All things work together for good to those who love God according to His purpose. What? That we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That even the world, didn't Jesus say that's how they're going to know you? By your love? Listen, you got to have enemies so you can express this love. It's your opportunity. It's your open door. And thirdly, you will be set free from anger and bitterness. And you will become, what's the word? Perfect. You're going to become perfect. Well, it's time to sit down at the table, and this meal is unique. It's wonderful. Oh, banana cream pie. Anybody like banana cream pie? That is just awesome. Yet God has loved me and forgiven me. And all these enemies, I'm going to trust Him with them. I'm going to trust God to take care of my enemies. And here's the cool part. This is the one meal you get to share. You get to share this meal. There you go. That's yours to keep. Yeah? Go ahead. Oh, okay. I love this meal. Jesus prepared it for me. You know, sometimes your enemies are pretty close. I'm going to be real open with you. Last week, I kind of got mad at my wife. I don't know if you ever do this. Probably not. It's probably just your pastor. But I gave her the silent treatment. You ever give your wife the silent treatment? Oh, I can tell some of you. Oh, yeah. My wife says it's the worst thing I can do to her. She'd rather me yell at her than not talk to her. And you know what? I know that. And that's why I do it. Because I'm wanting to inflict some pain. Because I'm upset about something. We go to bed that night. We have a king-size bed. That's a big bed. Don't touch me. We're just like enemies. But God has prepared this meal for me, and I'll never forget my wife, because I was her enemy, and she had an opportunity to do what Jesus said. And we agreed that this was going to be our response, and I could hear her praying for me. God, help my husband. Help. Then she reached over and took my hand, and she prayed out loud for me. She prayed out loud for me. Then she fixed my favorite breakfast in the morning. I didn't deserve it, but she did it. And she blessed me. And you know what? God changed my heart. I mean, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I mean, she looked at me. She called me Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe. I'd rather not do that. See, I'm just like you. I'm no different. What's really bad is when I become the enemy. It's one thing to deal with my enemies, but when I become the enemy, it's a bad thing. And I pray to God that I would be surrounded by people who would pray for me and do good to me and would bless me even in that place, because it's that's going to draw me back to the table. Because, see, I got up from the table, and because my wife was sensitive enough to pray for me, I was able to sit back down again. bite. How stupid to get up from this table. God wants to use your enemies. Would you trust him with them today? We're going to come to the table. We're going to dip the bread in the cup. When we do, I want you to come up with a name. God's going to give you a name. Now, maybe you need to, I'll just recommend you start with an easy enemy. Okay, go with an easy enemy. There's some. Just pick an easy one to start with and say, God, first off, where are the roadblocks in my life that are keeping me from doing this? And secondly, Lord, would you help me pray, do good, and bless that enemy? And then stand back and get ready, because you know what's coming after that? An incredible reward. God's going to bless you so much. Do you realize how important this is? This table has been prepared for us for this very purpose. That's why those enemies are there. They're there. They're a gift to us. But start in your own family, would you? Why would you hurt the person you love the most over something stupid? That's not rational. But God understands our weakness, and he draws us back. The principle works in your family. It works in your home. It works in your marriage. It works at the workplace. It works wherever you are. But you're going to need to humble yourself and let God do it. Are you ready for that? We're going to come to the table. Get that name. God's going to give it to you. And make a commitment this week that you're going to love your enemies. And you're going to trust God with that enemy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to consider your words. They're strong words, difficult words. I wish they were easier, but I know, Lord, that you've prepared it for us. You prepared this table so we can do this. And so today we declare that we are going to humble ourselves and we're going to submit to you in your words, resist the devil, and trust you with our enemies. Thank you, Father, for your precious promise. We celebrate it today in this cup and in this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to invite you to come down the center aisle and dip the bread in the cup. You're all welcome to come to this table. You will not be turned away. Elijah, you can come to the table today because you have made that commitment to Christ. And this is all for you. It's been prepared a long time ago. And as you come today, remember what God did for you. And then let him do for others through you what God did for you today. Amen? Do you need that? Amen? It's God's, just let God do what he wants to do. We invite you to come. God bless you. Thank you. Okay. I'm ready for my reward this week. How about you? Well, I got some things to do first, but I'm kind of anxious. God, just while I was serving communion, the Lord dropped a name into my heart I hadn't thought about for a long, long time. So I'm going to pray about what I'm going to do, but I'm kind of excited. I'm anxious for this week to get started so we can do what Jesus has asked us to do. The table's ready. Your chair is waiting for you. We just need to sit down and do what we've been asked to do. Are you ready? And then next week, we're going to get anointed with some oil. And our cup, there's a cup that overflows in great abundance. It's all for you. It's all been prepared for you. I hope you understand it. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I pray your blessings upon this body of believers. I love them. And I fall more in love with them every week as I watch them. And Lord, I know that of all the churches I've ever experienced, I believe this church may be best equipped to submit to these words than any place I've ever been. And so I'm excited about it. Lord, I pray that we would be able to experience it. We're not just going to talk about it, but this is a love in action. It's a decision of our will. Lord, we're going to come back next week. We're going to hear all about what happened. But it's time to get outside the walls. Lord, as we celebrate this baptism today, Lord, we're so excited because now another seat has been reserved at the table. And you're starting to bring all these great dishes to Elijah. He's just going to be amazed at what you've prepared for him because you saw this day before he ever saw it. And your love for him is intense. And we celebrate that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the way we do water baptism here, Brian is going to be doing the baptism. Those of you who can stay, we're just going to come right up here on the platform, and we're going to watch and get to be part of it. If you're here and you need prayer, we're not in any hurry to leave today. I'll stick around all afternoon until Jolt starts, okay? And we'll spend time praying. Take advantage of what God's given to you. We love you. Thank you for coming. See you next week. God bless you.